Psalm 118 verse 8 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than put your confidence in man. He says, it's better to trust in the Lord than put your confidence in princes. Listen, it's always better to trust in the Lord. People are uncertain. Life is uncertain. Money is uncertain. God is never uncertain. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill begins the final message from his series, Real Life, in the New Testament epistle of 1 John. Pastor has titled this final message, Our Great Assurance. Now, Pastor Bill.
Final words of John, the final verses. You know, I read verse 20 there in our text. Of course, that has been our theme throughout the entire study of John, about real life. We have He who is real. We have real eternal life. We have the real Savior. Amen? Very important. And so in these final verses, you know, we're talking about assurance, but we did that last Sunday. We talked about the assurance of salvation or eternal life. And God wants every one of His children to know that they are saved and that they have eternal life. Amen? He wants us to have that assurance. You know, listen, God loves us. Amen? God is our Father. And man, listen, you know, the foundation of all of it is personal faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. We believe in Him, and He is the only foundation where any person can truly find real, true assurance. Amen? There's no assurance in the world, only in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at verse 13 before we get into verse 14, our text. It says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Then here comes that word, and that you may know, that you may have that total assurance, certain assurance that you have what? Eternal life. Man, a past fact and a forever reality. Amen? And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So the believer's assurance last time that we were together, that we have eternal life, not hope so, we know so, but now we're going to move into different assurances. We're going to talk, first of all, about the believer's assurance in prayer. And then we're going to get down to the title of the sermon, which is Our Greatest Assurance. Say that with me. Our Greatest Assurance. And look at our text this morning. We're going to be in verse 14. And he says, now this is the confidence, or that word means boldness or assurance. That's the fourth time he's used it. He says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, I'm going to talk to you for a minute before we talk about that verse. Are we the children of God? Have we been adopted? Have we been accepted? Do we have holy access into the holiest of holies? Yes, it's been given to us. It's been granted unto us. We can come into the very presence of our Father in heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ and through our relationship with Him. He is our Savior. Now listen carefully. When we look at verse 14, I want you to have the right attitude and heart set. In other words, you know, our Father wants you to come to the throne of grace and pray more than you want to go there. Amen? Now listen, He invites you to come there. You think the president was going to invite you to the Oval Office? No. How about Governor Abbott? He's never even called me unless He wants money. You know? No. So listen, but God, who created everything, He says, listen, I want you to have confidence when you come to me. I want you to have boldness. I want you to have assurance. And I want your hearts filled with those things. So before we look at our text now, John is going to use five no's, K-N-O-W-S, okay? Now, four of them in the Greek would be oida, okay? That is absolute, certain, sure knowledge. We know it. We've got it, and it's alive in us. And then he uses only one time the other Greek word, gnosko, about that experiential knowledge of knowing our Savior, okay? Now, with all of that being said, let's look now. Verse 14, let me read it again. He says, now this is the confidence, this is the assurance that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now listen, do you believe that? I mean, that is what you call boldness, certainty, fearless trust. But actually, it's not that we have in him, it's that we have, in literally the Greek would read, toward him, okay? What does that mean? It means our attitude. What is your attitude toward God when it comes to your prayer time? Is it one of assurance? In other words, don't be confident in yourself. Well, I'm a prayer warrior. You better stop that one, okay? No, listen, loved one. It's not about the object of our faith. The object of our certainty and assurance is not me or you, amen? It is our Father in heaven. He wants you, when you come to him, he wants you to know the truth. And not only that, he wants you to have assurance. Do you? Do you have, when you go to the Lord in prayer, do you have assurance in the God who is a God of the impossible? The one who cannot lie? Do you have that? Well, I'll tell you something. Do you believe that God wants you, your Father, do you believe he wants you to experience his promises in your life? Yes. Of course he does. Who do you trust in? Man, that's important. Psalm 118, verse 8 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than put your confidence in man. Can we agree to that one? He says, it's better to trust in the Lord than put your confidence in princes. Listen, it's always better to trust in the Lord. People are uncertain. Life is uncertain. Money is uncertain. God is never uncertain. Amen? We can have assurance in him. So our confidence is in our Father who is all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-powerful. But what's wonderful is he loves us. He loves his children. So what is the certain, fearless assurance that we have in him? Well, look at verse 14. That if we, that's a Christian, if we ask anything, say that word, anything according to his will, he what? He hears us. Now, did you notice that the word anything is not everything? Okay, it's very important. He says, it's anything, not everything. It's anything that is according to our Father's will. Now listen carefully. There is nothing better than God's will. Amen? Nothing is better than God's will, and nothing is better than being in God's will. Amen? Okay, now, when it comes to the known will of God, how do we know the known will of God? The Word of God. But we have to do something. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, which is your logical or reasonable, or that is your true worship. Amen? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. But why? Well, that you may prove, that word means experience, that you may experience what is good and acceptable, that word, what is pleasing to God, and the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. Do you know if you do not renew your mind to the known will of God, which is the Word of God, you'll never know the will of God. Amen? God just doesn't drop it. He's dropped this book from heaven into the church. Amen? And you need to know it. So it says there, watch, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So we have the assurance that God, when we pray, he hears us, he sees us, and he also knows who we are. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. You know, you've heard me say it. I've said this so much, people think I've coined it, but it wasn't me. You know, the power of prayer is not in the one who prays it, the power of prayer in the one who hears it. Amen? Yes. And so if God hears our prayers, and there's only one limitation in our prayer time, only one, and that is God's will. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I am so thankful that God did not answer all of my prayers. Amen. I mean, hello. dear God. I mean, it's like, thank you. Have you ever thanked God for not answering your prayers? I mean, Lord, I'm in love with that blonde. And then you, 5 years later, you go, thank God I didn't. You know what I'm trying to say, you know? So listen, no, but the problem with our praying is it really and truly, much of our praying is asking God for what he's already given to us. Amen? And so that's kind of, it's counterproductive, if you will. You know, the disciples, they came to Jesus because they saw John the Baptist teaching his disciples to pray, and they were going, now they've got something going on that I don't have going on. So they went to Jesus and said, would you teach us to pray as John is teaching his disciples to pray? And then Jesus, remember, in Matthew, what is it, 6:9 or whatever, he says, after this manner, or this outline, a divine outline, after this manner, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, wow. In other words, God says, I want you on earth. I want my will done there. Amen? Heaven, in other words, the Christian in agreement with God. Lord, we want your will. And you know, the fact of the matter is that sometimes our praying is not in the will of the Lord. It's outside of the will of the Lord, isn't it? In other words, our motives sometimes can be wrong, even innocently wrong. But sometimes our heart is wrong when we pray. Remember what James said in James 4:3? He said, you know, you have not because you ask not, because you ask amiss. You know, your motive is not right. You ask amiss. And he says that you may spend it or waste it or squander it, waste, like the prodigal son, that you may waste it, squander it, spend it on all your pleasures. Well, he said, you're asking amiss now. God said, that's not my will. You know, listen, you know the best thing you can do when you pray, not that you need to remind God, but I think he likes to be reminded. Do you pray the promises of God? Pray them. Lord, I remind the Lord, Lord, I believe that promise. I'll give you a perfect example. The scripture, the promise from God, the foundational scripture of our charity, Love Never Fails International, Proverbs 19:17. He who hath pity on the poor, okay? Pity, remember, means a hand up, not a hand out. Amen? You see it, and now you do something about it. He who hath pity upon the poor, here it comes, lendeth unto God. And God will pay back what has been given. That scripture has sustained the charity. Why? It is a promise of God. I believe that with all of my heart, and I have seen it over and over. I pray that promise. I believe that promise. So the purpose of prayer is to get your will done, right? Well, in some churches, no, the purpose of prayer is not to get my will done. You know, I want you to, you need to, all of us, we need to ask ourselves right now, is his will good enough for you? Boy, and I tell you, yes, it is. And you know something, we pray amiss so often in the church today. I mean, you know, like, let me give you, I'm teasing, but just let's see. Okay, Lord, Lord, Lord. I know that Crummy is not a believer. And you know that I broke up with Dummy for him. But Lord, I tell you, I'm so in love with Crummy. I've been praying in tongues about it. I mean, I did a Jericho march around his home. I even anointed his door, his car, with oil. Lord, listen, I know that we have two different natures. I know that he's in darkness and I'm in light. Oh, God, but you know what? I love him and I'm going to marry him and I know you'll save him. Is that right kind of praying? Is that out of the will of God praying? Yes, because the Bible is very clear in 2 Corinthians 6:14 that we are not, it's a command, to be unequally yoked, glued to, amen, unbelievers. See, that's praying out of the will of God. And you know what God does? He says in Psalm 66:18, well, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord's not going to hear me. So much of the known will of God we have right here in the 66 books of the Bible. Now, we know that the will of God is the Word of God. However, sometimes we don't know about the unknown will of God. Lord, do I leave one state and go plant a church over there? Is that why you're telling you follow me? You can't find that scripture in the Bible, can you? No. So there's the do I take that job? Do I quit this job? Lord, what do I do? There's so much that we don't know. That's how we have to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? And He, if you pray, He will help you discover the unknown will of God for your life, the plan. Okay, let me give you the scripture in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, it says, also helps us. Now, that word helps literally is a picture of someone picking you up or carrying a heavy load on your behalf, if you will, for you. He says He helps us in our weaknesses. This is talking about spiritual weaknesses, about in prayer. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You don't know what to do. You don't have the answer. You just know the only thing we can do is pray. Amen? But the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit Himself, makes intercession. He pleads for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Wow. Groanings that cannot be uttered. So when we pray to our Father in Jesus' name, in faith, guess what happens? And we don't say, Lord, I don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit who lives in us, who is the greatest prayer partner you can ever have, amen? He starts praying through you, and He starts helping you and so forth, groaning through whatever that means, okay? Spurgeon put it this way, groanings which cannot be uttered are often prayers that cannot be refused, amen? And then he says in 8:27, now He who searches the hearts, meaning God, well, He knows the mind of the Spirit. God knows everything that's happening in your life and how the Holy Spirit is helping you pray. He says He makes intercession, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints, here it comes, according to the will of God. Not your will. You don't know what you need to pray for, but it's God's will. Amen? So true prayer, when we don't know what to do, is prayer in the Spirit, and which is prayer that He not only directs, the Holy Spirit directs, but He also inspires. And when He does it, it is always the will of God. He will never pray anything contrary to the will of God through you. Amen? Okay, now, so we have the assurance of God hearing. Now to the assurance of us having. Look at verse 15. And he's going to use that word know again. Oida, absolutely we know, it's assurance. And if we know that God hears us, well, whatever we ask, and here's that word again, we know. We have that divine assurance that He hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions or the prayers or the requests, the supplications that we have asked for. So, we say, okay, Bill, what does that really mean? Well, it means we have an incredible assurance, okay? It means here that if God hears, and He says He does, amen, when we pray according to His will, so hearing then equals having. Do you believe that? Well, it's what it says. So the emphasis in that verse is on we have, not what we shall have. Now listen carefully so you don't think, Bill, you're off the rocker here. When it says we have, the present assurance for the answer, even though we don't have the actual fulfillment, it has not yet arrived, we're just waiting, aren't we? Amen? Now listen, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Okay, so we prayed in faith. We prayed God's will, meaning we prayed what God says in His Word. Is it God's will that everyone be saved? Okay, is that a prayer we can pray? Okay, so we know that God has heard that. Now, we're only waiting for the fulfillment. Does that make sense? Okay, Matthew 6:33. And before that, it says, Jesus was talking, and He said, you know, don't worry about what you're going to put on, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, because all the Gentiles, they worry about that too, the people that don't know Me. He says, and then He tells us, He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, the things that you need in life, and He knows it, will be added unto you. So He knows that, amen? But does it mean right now, okay, they're dropping out of heaven? Into our refrigerator, into our bank account? No, we are waiting for the thing, for the fulfillment of that. Listen, you know, God says no only when it's outside of his will. And I think what happens so many times, Christians, especially today, they grow impatient in prayer. Don't do that. Loved one, listen, every Christian, even right now, all of us, we are in God's waiting room waiting for something, aren't we? Come on, a prayer that we pray. But listen, when you pray according to his will and his prayer, he hears. If he hears, that means they're still at the throne of grace. That means they're not dead. That means they're still alive. It means they're going to be answered in his timing. God is never late. Amen? Okay, so from the confidence in prayer, now look at the compassion of the one who prays, verse 16. If anyone, meaning a Christian, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, look what he's to do. He will go tell the pastor. He will gossip to everyone in the church. He will judge that brother or sister. What does he get to do? Oh, he will ask. What does that mean? He will pray, and he, God, who hears, will give him what? Will give him life. In other words, will touch him, will help him. You know, he will be renewed. Now, for those who commit sin not leading to death, so not to premature death, okay? Now, this is one of the most difficult text in the New Testament to interpret, the sin leading to death, and then there's a sin not leading unto death. And we could spend really probably 3 sermons on this, but it would just be telling us things, what this person might believe or this, and it's not going to get us anywhere. So the thing is we just have to ask ourselves about this incredible epistle that was written 2,000 years ago. What is the sin leading to death? Ultimately, doesn't all sin lead to death? Yes. Romans, 6:23? The wages of sin is? Death. Okay, so all sin leads to death. So what do we know about this verse? We know 3 things for sure. Number one, he is a brother. He is a Christian, okay, the individual here. He's a child of God, and what does that mean? Well, it means 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. He has eternal life. He's born again. The second thing we see in that scripture is that a brother sees, or a sister sees, a visual evidence of the sin that's happening in this individual's life, okay? Now, so he knows when he sees that this brother, this sister is in trouble. The third thing that we see in verse 16 is that every believer who sees his brother or sister in trouble, in a sin, okay, especially this sin right here that we're talking about, means you have a responsibility. You have to go to the Lord. You have to go to the throne of grace. You have to intercede for him. Why? God says, I'll hear, because this is the word of God. We're to do this. Amen? Now, one of the great scriptures Paul the Apostle wrote about how do we correct those. How do we correct somebody? And it's found in the book of Galatians there in chapter 6, verse 1. Let me read it to you. Paul writes, he says, now, brother, if a man, that means a man or a woman, a brother or sister, is overtaken in any trespass. Now, that's not, I caught you. That is sin caught them. Amen? They tripped up. They're in trouble. So if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you, that means you have a responsibility, every believer, you who are spiritual, say that, spiritual, very important, you who are spiritual, he says, restore such a one. Now, the word restore in the Greek is a medical term. It means to a person has a broken arm. It doesn't mean that you get out there and break the other one. It means that you mend that broken arm so it can be used again in their life. Amen? It's a beautiful word. So restore such a one, he tells us how to do it, in the spirit of gentleness. That is a fruit, or one of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? Okay. He says, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. In other words, hey, they fell yesterday. You might fall tomorrow. He says, considering yourself, lest you be tempted, bear one another's burden. So fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is to love one another. Amen. Okay. And it says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Now, when you think about that scripture there, you who are spiritual, what does that really mean?
Pastor Bill will complete this message on Love Never Fails tomorrow. and we look forward to seeing you once again. We appreciate you listening with us today, and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.